Life Audio.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friend, my partner in radio, Barnabas Piper. Pipe, it's just you and me today, recording live from the unrelenting heat and humidity of West Tennessee. I'm getting ready to go up north, man, and getting ready to preach. I do 10 talks, basically 10 sermons in 5 days, and I'm being reminded every day of like how unfit I am to preach. Usually it's like some circumstantial thing that happens every day, and then I blow up and I have some terrible response to it, and I'm like, oh man, I'm the last guy who should be doing this. Do you have that experience, like, as a preacher? And if so, how do you like deal with it?
I have it. So during the summer at Emmanuel, our lead pastor gets time off for vacation, and then he'll usually take another month where he's in the office kind of working on other areas of the ministry. So the preaching gets divvied up and I get to do a decent portion of it. I have that a lot more right after preaching, because Sunday afternoon is like my worst time of the week in terms of me as a human being. Because I'm tired, you know, being mm-hmm. at church all day is, you're kind of on constantly as a pastor, you know. Yeah. you're talking to people, there's a lot of in-depth conversations. Preaching takes, I mean, you know this, it takes more mm-hmm. out of you than you would think. Like, it's not just talking for 30 yeah. minutes. There's sort of a whole body, mind, soul investment. And so that I come yep. home and like my kids are in a great mood after church. They've had a great time in youth sure. group, you know, whatever. And like their good mood pisses me off.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So then I'm like, shut up, go away. I hate everybody. And then
that's,
I'm like,
really
and,
funny.
And this is totally counter to all of the, you know, the grace of God that I just preached. So
I know it.
My
know
worst it. Moments are the I'm a fraud moment comes like Sunday afternoons almost always.
Oh, that's fascinating. Yeah, see, my I'm a fraud moment is hitting like right now. And I'm sure some of this is like spiritual attack, right? I mean, we never,
yes,
as reform guys, we don't talk in those terms really, but I do believe that that's real, and I think, you know, some of that's probably operative here. But yeah, it's a serious thing, preaching the word. And you know, you, as the years go by, I think I take it more seriously, but I think I do a more harsh kind of indictment of my own sense of being the guy to do it or not do it. But hopefully the Lord uses it, and that's what we hope every time. You
and
know?
I think you and I are probably in the same boat in this, that, you know, if we find out that whoever our regular preacher is, you know, our lead pastor, or whatever, if we, like, you know, we found out that he yelled at his kids on a Saturday, we wouldn't think that makes him unfit to preach. We're like, that sounds human to me. Of course he's a human, relying
yeah, exactly.
on the grace. When
yeah.
we do it, we're like, I'm a failure. I'm going to go suck my thumb in a corner.
I'm the worst.
God's
yeah, I'm a
done
piece
with
of crap.
Me. Nobody's going to listen to me. I have nothing to offer. There's this weird, like,
totally.
Double legalistic standard that we heap on ourselves, which, and I think that's yeah. a spiritual attack. The sort of like, you should just quit now. They just give up. You have nothing good
yeah.
to offer.
Dude, totally. And I feel that so often. And let's take a break, Pipe. We're supposed to take a break here toward the top, and then I'll talk about another recent time when I felt that way, and then we'll get into more fun stuff. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, we're back. Pipe, another time that I experienced this feeling somewhat incongruously was recording the audio version of our book, which I thought would be fun, right? I've done it in the past. I've done audio versions of my own books in the past a couple of times, and it's been pretty fun. There was something about this one, though, and I think it was the jagged nature of like the footnotes and the editor's notes. I kept like fumbling all over myself, and I kept feeling like, ah, this is no good. This sucks. This is the worst. Have you recorded your sections yet?
I haven't. They, you know, whoever was coordinating that was like, hey, we need you to record these in the next 6.5 minutes. And I was like, well, I'm gone for the next 4 weeks. So good luck with that. No, I'm recording in a couple weeks. And I had them line me up with a studio in Nashville rather than trying to do it at home, just because my home podcast recording studio is like a desk in the corner of my room. So
sure.
But this is one that I'm not looking forward to recording from a purely technical standpoint. Like, I've done all of my previous audiobooks, and they're just a lot kind of cleaner, simpler. You just read straight through. It's my own voice. And this feels like, it's like reading portions of a script without anybody else doing their lines. So I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
I'm a little leery about how it's going to go.
Yeah. And I mean, in a perfect world, we would have gotten in a studio and like read it together, I guess. But, it was jagged. It was not super fun, but, hopefully the finished product will be good. And I don't know, is this the kind of book that people will get on audiobook anyway? I don't know.
I think first of all, there's a lot of people who just don't read and audio is their thing. And, and it's with three of us having our kind of our own distinct voices, we started as an audio medium anyway, as we're doing right now.
That's true.
I think a lot of people will get it that way. So listeners, it's due out, releases to the world August 2nd. So you can get the audio version or the print version of the Happy Rant book on August 2nd if you haven't pre-ordered already. So just keep that in mind.
Dude, there you go. A little promo. And Pipe, since you're in the spirit of promos, tell them where they can get some Happy Rant merch. We have a great website, courtesy of Josh over at Visual Theology. Put together a great website for us and some great merch. Where can they get that, Pipe?
Yeah, if you go to thehappyrant.com, you can find all of our episodes there. You can order or pre-order the book, depending on when you listen to this. And then we have a shop with t-shirts, notebooks, tote bags, a la the New Yorker canvas tote. I use mine for mostly grocery shopping, although recently I also used it for taking, the necessary things in a boat that I was on and enjoying in Michigan.
It.
So it's just very multifaceted to get to sport the Happy Rant. I'm actually wearing a Happy Rant t-shirt right now. It's one of my favorites because they're so comfortable. So not only did Josh's designs look awesome, but they're really comfortable t-shirts, pretty high quality. So again, thehappyrant.com, click on the shop. You can find t-shirts. A lot of them have our catchphrases on it or jokes that we've made over the years or just like standard Happy Rant logo stuff. But they make great gifts for fans of the show. Or you can just support us and sport it yourself. So go check it out.
Dude, I love it. Great promo work, Pipe. And I don't know how that website works, if it links to ronniemartin.org, but you could go to ronniemartin.org to see like 14 pictures of Ronnie. I'm sure there's other stuff on that website too, but I'm not sure what it is. But
our website is far more colorful than his. His is all shades of black, white, and gray, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and ours is deficient by comparison because it has pictures of us on it too. He had to share the space with us. But nevertheless, Pipe, speaking of kind of mythic fictional characters, you posed a really interesting question via text and I loved it. This is the kind of question that I get really excited about talking about. And it's like, which fictional characters from TV and film would you want to hang out with? So, like, in the pantheon of shows that we've experienced over the years and that we've enjoyed, what characters would you want to hang out with? And you teed this up by indicating to me that you've been watching a lot of Cheers lately, which warms my heart. Cheers is probably my favorite show of all time. It has great nostalgic and just personal value to me. And I wondered who it was on Cheers that you wanted to hang out with.
Yeah, so my wife and I started Cheers like a year ago, and then it went off streaming services for a while, so we just kind of gave it up. And it's become one that we often put on, you know, when we have a smaller window of time or we're kind of doing something else. It's not like a sit-down and dedicate an evening to it show. So we go through real slow. But I was watching it, and I was like, Coach, Ernie Pantuso, is one of the most likable TV characters that I could think of. And it just got my mind spinning because I looked at the characters on the show and I'm like, there's a lot of tons of funny characters on the show. But I was like, I don't know that I would want to hang out with him. Like, I wouldn't want to hang out with Sam. He's a dirtbag. I wouldn't want to hang out with Carla. Although being in the same room as Carla while she rips somebody else to shreds would be great fun. Norm is close.
Yeah.
But I would also have be conscience bound to be, it would be hard to be friends with Norm because I'm like, Norm, your 17th beer today might be too many.
Right. You'd always be worried about logistics. Like, how are we getting Norm home?
Yeah.
Like, are we calling an Uber? Am I driving again? You know, like, it'd be a lot with Norm.
And yeah, so then my thought process from there was, you know, I was like, Coach would be great to be friends with. Like, he's just delightful. Humorous, but kind of an idiot, and but just really kind to everybody. He just likes everybody. And then I started thinking about other sitcoms, and I was like, it's a really short list of people who are characters who would also be fun to hang out with. Like, none of the characters in Seinfeld, for example, not a single one.
Dude, I was going to ask you that because we just started like re-engaging with Seinfeld, and yeah, I wondered the same thing. So like, Their circle is so tight knit. I don't know if they're like auditioning. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you could get on the roster, if you could get in the rotation. But I think they would be the kind of friends. Do you ever have the friend growing up where you would have him spend the night, but then like by first thing in the morning the next day, you're like, yeah, I'm done with this. Like, I can't wait till his mom comes. You know, I'm over it.
Yes.
I think the Seinfeld characters would be that way. Like, you go to the coffee shop with them once, and they'd call the next day, and you'd be like, I think I'm busy. I think I'm good.
Well, and I feel like as an adult, you just skip the, like, let's hang out for hours on end, and you just get straight to, yeah, probably not. Maybe if we end up in, like, the same pew at church, but, like, I'm not spending nine straight hours.
I think of the whole cast of Seinfeld, it would be Kramer for me. Because Kramer, like, engages there's a certain childlike, he would remind me of what it felt like to be a kid. Because Kramer would be like, hey, you want to go hit golf balls, like, you know, into the ocean? I'd be like, yeah, I'm in. You know, that sounds fun. I'm good. I'm there. You know, so the kind of stuff that he came up with to do, like when he found the Merv Griffin set in the dumpster and set it up in his apartment, like, I would be down to do that. You know, I'd be all in on those kind of projects. But
when he's
Jerry, George, Elaine, I'm out.
And Kramer is the least like manipulative. You know, the others are all angling things to their benefit, and he's just sort of off the wall. And off the wall is it's exhausting, but like, it's a fun friend. He could work.
Yeah.
And I
definitely.
Mean, and then I started thinking about other shows, and I'm like, okay, Breaking Bad, The Wire, all these other like dark, and I was like, none of them have any characters that you would want to like, even the good guys. And well, first of all, there aren't really any good guys in those shows, which is kind of the point. But
yeah,
there was nobody who's like, man, he seems fun or she seems great. What a great personality.
Yeah. Dude, let me run another show by you. And I've got some Cheer stuff too that I want to get back into. But Frasier, did you ever watch Frasier?
I didn't. Frasier's not one I ever got into. Maybe. Well, I'm early enough in Cheers that we haven't gotten to Frasier showing up.
Yeah.
So maybe that will build my affinity for the character. I think the last time I saw episode of Frasier on, fair enough. He's an unlikable dude. But the last time I saw an episode of Frasier on, I was like, everybody in this is just annoying. But maybe there's enough, like, I've missed sort of the context, and the annoying is the thing that makes it work.
Well, I've been watching it for a while, and Frasier and his brother are definitely annoying. They're like bloviating, pompous windbags, so that's just like being at work for me, you know. They're both like heavily degreed academics who are full of themselves, and I'm like, yeah, I get enough of that at the office. But some of the secondary characters in that show, I think, would be amazing hangs. Like their dad, Marty,
yep,
is a retired cop who lives at their house, and he's just like kind of the blue collar, gruff analog to their pompous windbaggery. And I think Marty would be a good hang. I actually think Roz Doyle would be a good hang. Roz is the producer.
Yep.
You know, and she's kind of like of the same ilk as Marty. So I think those two could work. I think with the Cheers thing, go ahead.
I was gonna say, as a general rule, like blunt, grumpy old men are characters who I think I would enjoy hanging out with. So
totally,
like there's
totally.
There's sort of a demographic that I'm like, yeah, by and large, I have a great affinity for these men.
Dude, let me say a Cheers thing, and then I got another question for you about a show that I know that we've both experienced. Here's the Cheers thing. I think the brilliance of Cheers, and you saw this on the show, like the whole interpersonal dynamic works really well in the bar, but whenever they leave the bar, it doesn't work. Like every once in a while, they would do an ep where it was like, oh, they're in Sam's apartment, or they were never in Sam's apartment. I wish they were. They'd be in Diane's apartment or whatever. They'd be at like a softball field, and it just didn't work. So I think in the context of the bar, if you could kind of experience all of them together, it would work. But any of them individually, I think it would be tough. Like Sammy at the bar, I'm in, man. Like I would enjoy Sammy. I'm not gonna lie. Like kind of bro-y meathead, like fun guys. I'm down with that kind of thing. Cliff would be fun if you could offset him with other people, but alone, Cliff would just be like being on Twitter, like a well actually know it all. That would be awful.
That's a great description.
Yeah. You probably haven't gotten to Rebecca Howe yet. So you're still in the Diane years, right?
Yeah, still in the Diane years.
What do you think of Diane as a hang? Like if you had to kill a couple hours in an airport waiting room with Diane, would that be any good?
No, it'd be nightmarish.
Yeah.
She's also like Twitter, but like nerd mm-hmm. Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, Norm is like, yeah. Cliff is like hot take Twitter. And and Diane is like nerd Twitter, just, you know, switching into French and Latin and, you know, as Kierkegaard once wrote and like those sorts of things. You're like, yeah. Oh, shut up. Which,
yeah.
Again, makes a great character. And I think in a bar, that's the thing. You're right, because in the bar, like when you go to a bar, outsized personalities are really fun. Like they're
totally.
You're like, yeah, this is the guy who holds court. And it's yes. great because you can yeah. leave after 60 or 90 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. If you get sick of that guy, you can walk in the back and play some pool or do whatever. But yeah, I think it works, but only in the bar.
That's a funny kind of context thing, because I was thinking about, you know, you were talking about hanging out at the bar versus hanging outside. And I was thinking, I remember several years ago, you know, I worked with a group of coworkers. We all got along great. Worked really well together, even when we would travel and do different stuff. But then one time, my boss invited some of us over to his house, mm-hmm. and like the whole dynamic broke. And we were all
interesting,
it felt
dude.
Like, you know, first day
it
of school,
work.
We didn't know anybody,
yeah.
even though like we spent all day every day together. And it wasn't yeah. as if we only ever talked about work, like we knew about each other's families and,
right.
and hobbies and whatever else. But then you get into a context where it's like, hey, we're gonna do brunch or whatever we did, and it was like yeah. boy, conversation's really
dude,
difficult.
That's so funny.
Who are you people, that kind of
yeah.
thing.
There was something about the turf. It was like playing a road game, you know. It's like playing on the road. The locker room's a little bit different. You know, the field's not what you're used to. Yeah, that's bizarre.
And like
dude,
the rules of engagement,
thing.
Like, you know,
yeah,
you know, the shape of conversation when you're like sitting around a restaurant table on a business trip versus sitting around your boss's kitchen table with, you know, frittatas
right.
or something.
Frittatas, his kids are walking through, you know, it's just weird. Yeah, that's real. Pipe, let's take another break. And when we get back, I'm going to talk to you about a show that we've both experienced that I think I like and you don't. We'll be back. Okay, Pipe. Let's talk Gilmore Girls. let's talk a little Stars Hollow. You're in Stars Hollow. You got to hang out with like one or two cast members from Gilmore Girls, which is just a show that I think I like a lot and you don't like. But it's on a lot at your house, if I'm not mistaken. Is that your relationship with that show?
That is entirely accurate. Thankfully, my wife is gracious enough to usually like watch it on an iPad with earbuds, not like blaring on the TV. So I get to, I don't have to be exposed to it at great length.
Yeah. Okay. So if you had to like enter the world of that show and hang out with some people on it, who would it be and what would it be like?
The only character I can think of in that show, and I don't have a super deep knowledge, but you know, all the mains that I can think of, the only character who there's two of them who I think I would get along with are Suki, who just she just seems like a genuinely sort of delightful person. Yeah. She's neurotic and weird, but like all of us have weird friends. That's not, you know, that's no reason not to be friends with
somebody.
Dude,
I'm basically married to Suki. I realized this like a season and a half into the show. And I'm like, oh, I love Suki. And I kept saying this, and KK was like, yeah, she's basically me. And I'm like, oh, you're right.
That's a good parallel. I'm glad you really like that character. But yeah, she just seems like she's good-hearted. She's warm. She's funny. She's, you know, she's a little like high stress, whatever. But again, not a huge deal. And then the other, and this would be context specific, is Luke.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I would want to like go on a road trip with Luke, but like in the diner, the cranky guy running the diner would be really fun. Like, oh, let's go here. This guy, it'd be like going to Ed DeBevick's and, you know, in Chicago, or they probably have him like Disney where like they're rude on purpose. That's their shtick. Yeah. Like Luke's shtick would work for me from I like this guy. I don't know how well it would work in like a, you know, let's go play golf together or something.
Dude, yeah, Luke, it's so funny you said Luke and Suki, because that's who I was going to go with as well. Suki, because I'm married to her in real life, and Luke, because Luke would be the friend that you get together and complain about stuff with. Do you have a friend like this, where, like, you get together and low-key all you do is just, you know, complain, but it's really fun? I think Luke would be that guy. Like, you could gripe about the government. You could gripe about like kids these days.
It's kind of what we do really on this podcast in a sense.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're kind of the Luke for me actually when we're together, but, no, like I think he would really fill that role nicely. And, as I think about the whole cast of characters there in Stars Hollow, I think that's the guy. There was a lady who ran a dance studio in town, who was kind of always smashed, but she always had some really good stories. I think she might be kind of a fun hang. Okay. I don't know if you know the show at this level, and if you don't, it's fine. If you had to hang out with either of Rory's love interests in the show, like the floppy haired, like tall kid kind of from the first couple seasons, or like the flinty-eyed bad boy from later in the series, who would it be?
Was it Dean and somebody else?
Yeah, Dean. Dean was the first guy, which, like, shout out to, like, a high school kid named Dean. Like, where did that come from? I'm in, though. I like it. So there was Dean. Dean was a hockey player, which they dropped on us in, like, season 3. I had no idea.
I think they just needed an excuse for his hair.
Yeah, exactly. And then the next guy, I don't remember, I'm blanking on the name. The real fans are going to hate me for that.
But my wife will be shouting at her earbuds when she listens to this episode, because she knows all the characters plus like their birth dates and hometowns and everything.
Here's the thing about Dean. I'm going to make a passionate argument for Dean here in 30 seconds. Dean built a car from scratch for Rory. And Rory was very like, you know, thanks. You know, that's when I was out on Rory. After Dean built the car for her and she was kind of indifferent about it, I'm like, how could you be indifferent about something like that? That's huge. And so I don't know. I think I'm team Dean, even though Dean was kind of needy, kind of cloying, kind of a whiner. If I was a girl, I wouldn't want to date Dean. But I don't know. As a viewer, I was kind of like, Dean, good kid. I'm calling him to like house it when I'm gone, you know. He can cut the grass, check the mail. Everything will be as it should be when you get back. Feed the cats. I like Dean. What about you?
I had friends in high school who were like Dean in terms of just the overall vibe and personality. So that's a friend I can imagine having. I have never liked the mm-hmm. flinty-eyed bad boy. The like that yeah. as a human or as a character, I'm generally like,
yeah,
somebody beat that guy up. Like that, I don't like him.
Yeah.
So I don't remember.
That was my response to him too. And yet, like, I know women in my life, like all of KK's friends and their daughters, like we always talk about Gilmore Girls, and they were all like, oh, that guy, they all loved him. but I didn't see it. My response to him was similar to yours. Like, he needs a beating, you know?
Which tells me that the, what is it, Amy Sherman Palladino, I think, was the lady who created mm-hmm. and directed that show. She's very good at casting characters for the audience she intends to reach. I'm not the intended yeah. audience for Gilmore Girls. So
yeah.
If I hate a character, it does not matter. Matters not at all. Like yeah. I hate all the characters and Friends yeah. too, but not really the target audience for that show. And also one of the most yeah. successful sitcoms in history. So, you know, the people who make these know what they're doing when they're like, we want to reach this kind of audience and we're going to do it with this kind of vibe and feel. So yeah, the bad boy totally works as a character for an audience. I just want to hit him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. So, okay. You mentioned Friends. I don't like Friends either. It's a trash show, but if you had to go to dinner with one of the characters, like you had to hang with one of them just for one evening, who's it going to be?
Joey.
I was going to go Joey too, man. We're on the same page on this.
Yeah.
Joey, you can do some soap opera stories, have some ha-has. It's Joey. Joey'd be a good audience. He would think you were funny. Joey, good hang. He
seems like he's probably watches sports. Like he's not a bad dude. I kind of like the other characters seemed very well. Phoebe is also, she's probably the most good-hearted. If Phoebe mm-hmm. and Joey were both hanging out, it would be like I could do dinner with them and then kind of exhaustedly leave. If it was the others, I would be so mad the whole time.
Yeah,
because they're all annoying.
Yeah. All right, let's do some rapid fire, a couple other shows. Then we'll take a break and talk movies. I was not super into this show at the level that the rest of the culture was, but I watched a couple seasons, and I actually wrote a whole essay about whether or not I would have been friends with Jim Halpert in college. I wouldn't have. It's The Office.
Yes.
Where are you at in The Office? Where are you at on, like, character hangs in The Office?
See, The Office is an interesting one because they set, like, Jim and Pam up to be, like, the sweet, friendly ones.
Yeah.
And they're not. You know, they're, like...
No, they're not.
Arrogant. And like, Jim gets worse as the show goes along. Yeah. I haven't watched, like, every episode, but they're just... Yeah. The progression... The Office is tough. Like Oscar's,
yeah, Jim.
Oscar's probably the only person in that show who I like. You know, like as a person, you're like, he seems like a good dude. Everybody else, I'm like, no, I don't think I can hang with them.
Dude, what about Daryl from The Warehouse? He played keyboard, played basketball. Like he's into some of the same stuff that we're into. I think you could have a good time.
Yeah, Daryl would be the, like, Daryl would not be the kind of guy who you develop the friendship with where you're like, hey man, I'm going through something, can we grab beers or grab a coffee or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
But he would absolutely be the kind of guy who you're like, hey, a bunch of us are getting together on Saturday morning to go play some pickup or, you know, having a cookout. And he'd be a good hang.
Absolutely. Yeah, you could have him over to watch the NBA draft. You're having a fun night, you know, guarantee it. I think maybe Bob Vance, like, he'd be the guy that I would call, like, hey, I got a leaky faucet. Can you come take a look? He's got all the tools. You know, that might be good. Phyllis was nice.
Yeah.
I could, like, if I worked with Phyllis and we had to, like, I don't know, have dinner together at a conference or whatever, it'd be fine.
You know, I have worked with Phyllis. Like,
yeah,
I worked at Lifeway.
We've been in, like, Christian publishing.
Lifeway and Moody. There was like 80 Phyllises, and
Yeah, Christian publishing is run by Phyllis's, you know.
Which tells you a lot about Christian publishing. But it's...
Exactly.
It's... They're not a good hang, but neither are they, like, you don't come away from it feeling anything strongly. You're just kind of like, you feel like you did them a favor, is really what it feels like. You come away and you're like,
yeah,
she seemed like she needed to have, you know, some laughs, a good conversation over, like, you know, spaghetti at the old spaghetti factory in whatever Midwestern town we're having a conference.
Yeah.
And like that,
yeah,
that sort of, you know, you gave Phyllis a pleasant evening, yeah, that she's going to be like, I'm one of the guys. This is so much fun.
Yeah, I'm one of the guys. It's so much fun. We did some off-color jokes. You know, I'm in. I'm in the group now. Yeah, totally. That's the dynamic. Yeah, my issue with Jim, and this was really starting at the very beginning of the show, he knew he was better than everybody else. And, you know, the whole show was kind of oriented around, is he ever going to actually act on that and leave the company? You know, to me, that's what the show is about. But yeah, it made him unlikable because he's like walking around every day feeling superior, and nobody likes a person like that. Except apparently everyone in the world who adored that show. I don't know. I didn't get it. I mean, I got it, but I just didn't like the show that much. Okay, let's do another quick one. Parks and Rec.
That is a show I never got into. I watched... Everybody and their mother was like, skip season one and just start with season two. And I was like, yeah, but that's not how stories work. So I started with season one and I was like, this is not fun.
Yeah.
So I quit. Yeah. So I don't have enough input to decide. I know some of the caricatures, but not enough to know, like, this character would be fun, this one wouldn't, etc.
Yeah, yeah. There was a character in season one, and I was the same way. I never finished shows. Like, I probably got two or three seasons into that show, and I was like, ah, okay. They've done all the jokes. I'm good. There was a character in season one, Mark Brandanowitz, who was an actor that I really liked. I'm blanking on his name. But anyway, like, the consensus about this character was that everyone hated him. And so they dropped him. Like, they got rid of him. They took him out of the show in subsequent seasons. But I actually kind of liked him. I liked early career Chris Pratt in that show. His character was fun, kind of dopey. He was kind of the Kramer of that show. I think he would be a decent hang.
Have you ever taken Chris Pratt seriously as an action hero?
No, absolutely not. I've enjoyed... I feel like I watched him in something action-y that I enjoyed him in. It was like a time travel thing. It was like a Netflix movie circa 3 or 4 years ago where he was traveling through time. And I enjoyed the movie, but at no point did I take him seriously, you know? And I watched him in the dinosaur thing a week or two ago. We went to the theater and saw it. I don't know. What do you call those movies?
The Jurassic Park ones?
Yeah, Jurassic Park. You can tell it made a deep impact on me.
They've only been cranking out hits for the last 30 years.
Yeah. They've only existed for the better part of my whole life, and yet I can't think of the name. But I enjoyed him in it. I was like, oh, it's Chris Pratt. He's pleasant. He's kind of got a little thing going with this girl. That's pleasant. I can get on board with it. But yeah, him. Yeah, okay, here's the Chris Pratt test. You drop him into any action movie. So take any sort of famous action movie and put Pratt in place of the actual guy, the movie probably gets worse, right? Like Die Hard, he doesn't work. Any of the like Van Damme, Seagal movies, like Hard Target or Hard to Kill. Yeah, Mission Impossible doesn't work.
James Bond.
James Bond, nope. Bloodsport, nope. Yeah, like he's a no for me on all those movies.
See,
that we just mentioned.
Watching him do action movies is a little bit like watching Michael B. Jordan do. So there's Michael B. Jordan played the villain in Black Panther, and then he did another movie. Yeah. It was kind of, I think it was based off of a Tom Clancy book where, you know, he's part of this elite unit. He's the only one who survives. There's, you know, they'd come to kill his family, and he goes on like this major revenge mission. And you're like, it's not convincing. He's ripped.
Yeah.
he's, you know, he can do all the action. He's a good actor. I think this applies to both Chris Pratt and Michael B. Jordan. And they're not at all convincing as like a rage-driven, steely-eyed, like soulless,
like a maniac
killer.
Yeah. Yeah, like a revenge guy. You got to be a good revenge guy. And Pratt and Michael B. Jordan, who I really think a lot of both of them as actors and like movie stars, they don't have the revenge face. You know what I mean? You got to have a certain revenge face to pull that off. They don't have it. Their faces are too kind.
Yeah, when they get mad, it looks like a child who's mad. Like, you know, when you're when your 6-year old gets mad at you and they're like, "I'm going to punch you," and you just kind of laugh at them. That's how I feel when those guys get mad. Whereas like, I don't know, like when even Tom Cruise, who isn't a great actor, he is a great action star.
Right.
Like he has a face and you're like, "Oh, he's, you know, that's the face of like the guy who's on a mission." That works.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a mission face. He has determined face. He even has a little bit of revenge face. John McClane, Die Hard. Bruce Willis had all those faces.
Yep. Liam Neeson in all of
right,
the Taken 1, 2, 3, 4, and then every other movie that's not called that, but is that.
Dude, yes. But is
taken
that.
Taken on a train,
exactly.
Taken on a plane, etc.
Dude, Liam Neeson's had such a weird IMDb. His career is fascinating in that... So I remember my first Liam Neeson experience was... the 1990s version of Les Mis. And I watched it.
Yeah, he was phenomenal.
And I watched it in a time... Yeah, in a time of my life where I was just starting to, like, get into movies, and I was just starting to, like, not at a Brett McCracken level, but at whatever my level was, to think of myself as, like, a film guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thoughtful about this stuff. And I watched it, and I was like, oh my gosh, that guy's amazing. You know, he's going to have this 30-year run as, like, the thoughtful... art film guy. I thought he was going to be like Daniel Day-Lewis 2.0. You know what I mean? He was going to have that DDL kind of career. But he didn't. He ended up taking this pivot into like, I'm doing 98-minute action movies where I'm like killing a guy on a train with a catering tray or whatever. And it's just like...
Yeah, once...
I didn't see that coming.
Once he discovered his very particular set of skills, that's all he's used. Apparently, like, I thought that was a line in Taken... That's actually his career-defining moment. I have a very particular set of skills. This is all I'm going to do until I die.
Yeah. No, I know. That's crazy. It's really interesting how he did that. Pipe, let's take one more break, and let's come back and do some movie stuff. All right, we're back. We're talking about fictional character hangs, who we would want to hang with and why. We've done TV. Now we're going to do movies. Pipe, any great movie hangs that come to mind just right off the bat for you?
That's a good question. I'm trying to remember the last good movie that came out. No, I think about some of the movies that were really kind of the seminal defining Hollywood movies from, so like, Good Will Hunting.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, I think the entire group of friends in Good Will Hunting would be an awesome hang.
Oh, my gosh. Those guys would be so much fun. Yeah. Yeah, those guys would be great.
Cole Hauser, Ben Affleck, Matt, Casey Affleck. Casey Affleck was my favorite character in that movie. But
dude, Morgan. Yeah. My boy's wicked smart. It's
wicked smart.
Yeah, I love it.
Puts his burger on layaway. That's my favorite scene.
I love it.
But I think those guys would all be great fun. And what worked was that they like the arc of their relationship developed. So they weren't caricatures. They were they kind of came off that way, but then you see like, oh, there's deeply human development going on here as they wish the best for each other, et cetera. So I think think those guys would be great.
Dude, that movie for me, it had a funny thing about it that I like in a movie, which is like the bad guy who doesn't actually do anything wrong. This was Gerald Lambeau, the MIT professor.
Yeah.
Who was like an arrogant, unlikable douche. But really, like, if you look at his body of work in that movie, he doesn't do anything wrong. He's just trying to give opportunities to Matt Damon, who's just rejecting him left and right. Also, Tom Kazanski in Top Gun, the Val Kilmer character, same deal. Never does anything wrong. Iceman's just a perfect pilot, And yet somehow he's the bad guy and Pete Mitchell's the good guy. Well,
Top Gun was an outlaw movie. Like it,
yeah.
It's when you're rooting for the bandit, basically. And so
yeah, that's
the
right.
law enforcement, mm-hmm. like the straight-laced law enforcement officer is the bad guy. And you're like, but actually he's upholding the law. He's not breaking the law. He's not beating any, you know, women or children. Like everything here is good.
Yeah.
That's kind of Val Kilmer. Yeah. He was like the straight-laced FBI agent version, that guy.
Yeah. Dude, Sergeant Pete Mitchell, Maverick in Top Gun would be the worst hang of all time.
He's so terrible.
He would be such a terrible hang, dude. I would rather hang with almost anyone in those movies. I'd rather hang with like the Ed Harris character who just like pounds the desk and like spills his coffee and gets mad at Maverick.
Tom Skerritt, I forget the character's name, but like the guy who runs Top Gun is he's another one of those like crusty old men who I'm like, I would love to spend an evening with that guy. Like pull out a beverage of whatever our choice is and just spend a couple hours like hearing stories, listening to his kind of earthy wisdom, and that I think he would be enjoyable.
Excellent hang for sure. All right, let's do a couple more movie hangs. If you had to hang, this is a weird one, but I know you'll get it. If you had to hang with any of the teammates in Hoosiers, who are you hanging with?
Man, Hoosiers left
slash. Which one of those guys would be the most fun to play pickup with?
So I've watched Hoosiers probably 6 times. Gene Hackman is the only character that left an impression on me in that movie. Like it never clicked with me. Like when people ask best sports movies, Hoosiers doesn't even, I don't even remember that it exists. Which is
really, that's fascinating.
Absolute sacrilege to so many people. And the thing is, I don't think it's a bad movie. I just
it
felt like it was like we're just at odd angles together. Like this is not, it's not clicking. Yeah. So I don't remember.
That's interesting. That's so interesting. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's okay. And it's funny. I think I do so much like Indiana romance, like Indiana nostalgia. When I experience that movie, it resonates at a different level for me because of that. So, all right, let's do other sports movie hangs. Throw a sports movie.
I was going to say Remember the Titans, but the other thing is like movies about high school characters are tricky because high schoolers are, you know, they're not fully formed humans.
Yeah.
But let's go Remember the Titans. Why not? It's an interesting mix of characters.
Yeah, it is. And I'm actually not a huge fan of that movie.
Oh, I'm not either.
I really like the Denzel character because he actually reminds me of a guy that I coached with in real life who I liked and who was a good hang, but who everybody was afraid of. His name's Derek Burrows. He was the head coach at Lane College like the first 3 or 4 years I was here. Scary guy, super intense, but a cool guy, like a good hang. So I'm going Denzel on that one. If you had to hang with anybody from the team, who would it be?
I really like the big fat offensive lineman who likes to sing Motown. I always liked the big fat guys on my teams. Every team I was on,
they're the best hangs.
The fattest dudes were always the most enjoyable to hang out with. And I don't mean like the biggest, most athletic guy. I'm talking about the guy who you're like,
no. Yeah.
He's going to die during wind sprints. That guy. I always liked those guys.
Those guys. They have to, like, in a way, the universe has done them wrong. So they've had to develop, like, some other equipment to get through life. They've had to become funny, self-deprecating. Like, in a weird way, because they've been robbed of certain qualities, they've been gifted with all the qualities that matter. And it makes those guys magnificent hangs. You're right. That's a good call. What sports movies, what legendary sports movies are we forgetting?
Oh, so many.
Let's do a baseball movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Major League. Yeah. Are you a Major League guy?
I don't have it, deep in my heart the way many people do, because I think it's another one that I came to late, like not during its kind of heyday, but I remember thinking it was hilarious. I feel like baseball movies fall into 2 categories. They're either obnoxiously heartfelt, which makes them terrible.
Reverent.
Yeah. Like this sort of over romanticizing of baseball, or their total comedy, which means that the characters are not really characters. They're all kind of bit pieces. Like that's what I felt like about Major League. Like they're really funny movie, really cleverly written. There weren't actually any real characters though. There was a lot of caricatures.
Right. Yeah, I think with Major League, I'm going with Jake Taylor, the catcher. Old guy, one more season in the sun. He's washed up. He and I are a lot alike right now. So I think I'm hanging with Jake Taylor. It'd be like hanging out with myself. I got one more baseball movie one. Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams. He plows over his corn to make a baseball field. Kind of mystical. He'd sort of be like hanging with like Christian mystic Twitter, like Richard Rohr or like Ronnie sometimes, you know, like takes himself a little too seriously.
Ronnie Rohr.
Kind of a joke. Yeah, Ronnie Rohr. Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams, good hang. Yes or no?
No. Okay. I mean,
make the argument.
Not a hard no. Well, here's the thing about people.
Kind of a soft no.
People. Mystic is a direction that takes you right out of the realm of funny. Like, if you lean too hard in that direction, you lose your sense of humor and everything becomes a response.
Yeah.
And is my least favorite response because, like, all the jokes fall flat. There's no room for irreverence. It's just no thank you. But it's about baseball and, like, it's really hard to go, when you're like sliding into second cleats up to break up a double play. So there's enough there that's like there's still childlike wonder. There's still like the love of fun. But that movie leaned into the romantic side of baseball too much. Like baseball is a kid's game. So this is why like The Sandlot holds it down as my favorite baseball movie because there is a romantic aspect. But they get at it through kids just having a blast and talking trash and playing the game. So, I don't know. I don't think he'd be an awful, awful hang, but he's trending towards.
If you could get him,
he's trending.
If you could get him talking about the baseball players, like, holy bleep, how cool was it when Shoeless Joe Jackson, like, showed up at your house? Like, I could do a whole evening of that, but if he was like, no, I want to, like, gaze into my, you know, beverage and stroke my goatee and think about the voices.
Honestly, I'd be like, I would only be able to hear him say the phrase "have a catch" maybe three times before I just lost it and like hit him over the head with a
bottle.
Nobody
says that. Yeah, that's not real. That's not a real thing that people say. Pipe, this has been good. We should probably wrap this one so that we can do another like quick app so that we can get a couple in the can here. Pipe, we've done what we always do on this program. In that we've wandered to and fro throughout a really great topic. It was really fun to think about what characters from pop culture we would hang with. And until next time.
We want to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for partnering with us on this podcast. Be sure to go to lifeaudio.com and take a look at the other podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
I'm Billy Yancey, entrepreneur, fitness cowboy, father, retired Navy cornerback, and now podcast host. Listen to my new show, Billy and the Goat, on Life Audio. Happy listening.